Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 111. Listen for the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Here ends the first reading.
From Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. After all of our summertime comings and goings, it is good to gather again on Rally Day to kick off a new program year. I am particularly glad to begin this year with a full team of colleagues who have been called to the task of Christian education. With Rachel leading our children's ministry, Kellen, our youth, Dick at the helm of our senior adults, and Rebecca in adult education and mission. Now, the Apostle Paul clearly just warned me against boasting, so let me quote another who has been boasting about this congregation. One of my clergy colleagues in the presbytery, who knows this church well, said to me recently, "I think Bryn Mawr is assembling the strongest church staff I know of." And I believe that with Jeff and Edward leading our music ministry, an essential part of Christian education, along with the pastors, we are a church exceptionally gifted for the task of Christian formation. It is not just because of Rally Day that I feel called to begin with a little cheer for the church, but rather because of the challenging times we live in, when more and more people are claiming no religious affiliation. I'm grateful that the Christian Century has figured out that, like myself, its readership generally does not stay up late enough to catch the late-night comedians, so they get a lot of print copy out of reporting the intersection between faith and comedy. Some of you may remember, for example, that Jay Leno used to enjoy exposing general ignorance on particular subjects, including biblical literacy. He would stand on some busy street corner in New York City, hold up a microphone to some innocent passerby enamored with being that close to a celebrity, and then Leno would ask a question like, on the first day of creation, God said, let there be. And the person would say, peace? Or he'd ask, who were Cain and Abel? And get the answer, disciples of Jesus? Or my personal favorite, what was the name of Noah's wife? And countless respond, Joan of Arc. You could argue that one a trick question. The Bible does not give her a name, but I don't know is a better answer than Joan. On the one hand, there is something comical about people mistaking Noah's family in the book of Genesis with the 15th century French martyr. But on the other hand, the humor points to a sad lack of basic knowledge about the Bible and our culture, not to mention that of human history. If, according to the Gallup poll, 1 in 10 Americans thinks Moses was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, or that more people can name the ingredients of a McDonald's Big Mac than can name the Ten Commandments, then the church's work in Christian education is more important than ever. The need for basic biblical literacy is not simply to justify an intellectual elitism when it comes to matters of faith. Frankly, this has long been a critique of our Presbyterian tradition, that we tend to worship God with our minds over our heart, soul, and strength. But having a basic knowledge of the Christian tradition is not so much a matter of intellectual prowess as it is to understand how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. How Jesus Christ saves us from our worst selves and moves us to greater faithfulness. And how the Holy Spirit gives life to the church and helps us live in this complex world as people of faith. Professor of Religious Studies Christian Swenson has written about the value of Christian education, saying, given the Bible's radically unique character, biblical literacy involves not only the mundane business of knowing basic information, but something more profound. Biblical literacy means an ability to identify significant passages and stories, people, places, and things in the Bible. It means knowing something about the Bible's organization, wide-ranging historical context, and that the Bible did not emerge out of the ether in fully formed modern English. But perhaps more important, biblical literacy involves the recognition that there is always more to learn. The Bible is both enormously complex and persistently engaging. It invites a lifelong relationship. So on Rally Day, our annual celebration of getting back into the regular rhythm of a full church program, the Bible itself calls us to consider how basic knowledge about God through the centuries of human history is bound up with the questions of our daily lives. Psalm 111 cascades with praise about the greatness of God and calls upon us to take God seriously. The psalm outlines almost a curriculum for the study of God in church school and youth ministry and Bible study and classes and choir practice. It draws first from the realm of royalty. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him. Full of honor and majesty is his work. Then the psalm moves toward a more domestic vision of God, drawing from the realm of the human family, and depicts God as both mother and father. The Lord is gracious and merciful, says the psalmist. The word mercy comes from the Hebrew word which means womb. To be recipients of God's mercy means we have been birthed into the family of God's loving kindness. Then the psalmist picks up the traditional role of a father as the head of the household economically, announcing, "The Lord provides food." This is who God is, a king above all kings, transcendent in splendor, and a parent who chooses to attend to us with daily love, care, and provision. Each year, Rally Day renews our commitment to learn about this mighty greatness of God and the tender mercy of God. Study the works of the Lord as you delight in them. The psalmist invites us to respond, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, fear of the Lord is one of those old-fashioned biblical expressions that insist on being translated for a new day. Fear of the Lord does not mean being afraid in a psychological sense that calls forth some innate fight or flight reaction. The psalmist is not warning us to muster up psychological fear, but rather inspiring us to wonder together in the company of the congregation. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are words to inspire us to the study of Holy Scripture, to grow in faith, to give thanks to God for all that God has done for us, to support one another as those who have been born into the family of God's loving kindness, and to reach out to others in service among those in need. Today's celebration extends far beyond our children being promoted in Sunday school and the youth gathering back in full swing and adult classes reconvening and new ones forming and a full complement of church program beginning again. It is about our being called together in awe before the living God, so that we may be reliable witnesses to God's work in the world today by making the connection between God's awesome greatness and our daily life. We are children of the Exodus, for example. So as people of faith, we see those Syrian refugees flocking into Europe as brothers and sisters, knowing from our biblical story that God has heard their cries and seeks their refuge. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, through whom the old dividing walls have come down. Therefore, we look across the diversity of our country of race and creed and station in life, and we see possibility for unity rather than division. A basic understanding of how the Bible reveals the living God makes us a community of people who possess what Paul describes as a foolish wisdom as we gather together with compassion among the weak and the small, the outsider and the vulnerable. We get some of that in worship, but the church offers so much more opportunity for us to grow in faith and wisdom. When Craig Barnes was leaving Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago to become the president of Princeton Seminary, he wrote some poignant reflections on congregational ministry. He said that it took him nearly 30 years in ministry to finally understand how the church really nurtures our common Christian life. Like our church, Shadyside is a liturgical and unapologetically formal congregation where generally people dress up for worship and are hospitable but not laid back. They are attentive in worship, listen to sermons, and engage in singing and praise that lifts their spirits and places them in awe before the transcendent God. But where their faith comes to the fore, Barnes wrote, is in the fellowship hall, in the company of one another, circled up over a meal and a good conversation about things that matter. He wrote, the folding tables in the fellowship hall are not formal pieces of ecclesiastical furniture like the sanctuary's communion table, but they give us a sacramental glimpse of the Christ who is among us in ordinary places. My brother and I, who grew up as pastor's kids, once tried to count up how many meals we had eaten in a church basement while sitting on metal folding chairs. He says, I would tell you the number, but it's too high to be believed. We sat at table with our friends from the youth group and talked about sports and cars and which one of us was the biggest nerd. Meanwhile, our parents were talking about the economy or why Bob was going to the hospital on Wednesday, or why their teenagers gave them so many worries. God is present in the small talk at church, in the classes, the hallways, the fellowship hall. Craig Barnes goes on to say the Gospels account for less than a year of Jesus' three-year ministry on earth. That means that at the end of 2 out of 3 days, there was not much to report. Even if the Savior had laundry days. But that sanctifies the ordinary things that take up most of our lives. Friends, Rally Day is a new beginning to seek the presence of God in the ordinary things of our lives. Find a class or a Bible study or some small group to belong to. Bring your children to choir practice and the Wednesdays Together program that adds a new dimension this year to their Christian formation. Today, for all of us, there will be tables outside over lunch just for you to discover where the church needs more volunteers here and in the community. Because through the classes, the Bible studies, the service opportunities, the music ministry, and countless meals on folded chairs around the tables of fellowship, the great works of the Lord are studied by all who delight in Him. In the company of the congregation, God is revealed to us, through us, in awe and wonder. And that is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.